I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. Hey there, you're listening to the Calm Mom Podcast. Michelle Grosser here. Thanks for being with us today. On today's show, we're going to talk about 3 of the top reasons that I see over and over and over again in my group programs and my one-on-one coaching, why women are feeling so fried. So fried, right? And if not in this exact moment, celebrate that. And then maybe ask yourself, like, when was the last time that you just felt fried? Or how often are you feeling fried? Like, you guys know that feeling, right? The tank is empty. My brain's got nothing left, right? I'm experiencing brain fog, forgetfulness. I'm walking into rooms not knowing why I'm there, opening the fridge or the pantry, not remembering why I'm there, driving home, not even aware of the drive, right? I just get from one place to another and I'm like, man, how did that happen? Maybe it shows up feeling irritable or edgy. Like you just feel like you're on edge all day long, right? You wake up and you're kind of just in this sour mood. Maybe your emotions are all over the place, right? It doesn't take much to set you off. Or maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's burnout. You're just flipping exhausted. I know for me, when I'm fried, I get super spacey. Like it's just so hard for me to be present, right? I dissociate. I have a hard time paying attention when my kids or anyone else is talking to me. Forget like being really focused and productive in my work, even trying to read a book. Like, have you guys ever had times where you just sit or lay there with a book and you read the same paragraph like 4 times and you still have not processed what you're reading, right? You're fried. Another indicator for me when I'm fried is that I notice that everything, particularly the little things, start to feel really overwhelming for me. Like I know in my rational mind that what I'm tasked with is not a big deal. something like responding to an email or just like simply starting a project or, you know, planning meals for the week, whatever it is, all of those small things that I can handle no problem other times, when I'm feeling fried, that feels like a lot for me. Like that feels like way too much. Like everything is just closing in on me. Everyone wants something from me. It's just like pressing in on me from all sides. And I feel like I'm just going to lose it at any moment, right? Like I'm either just going to pop off or I'm just going to start bawling, just want to crawl into my bed or hide or run away. And I have a feeling, especially since I've talked to a lot of you about this, I have a feeling that I'm not alone, right? Maybe you can remember a time where you felt like that. So how, right? Or why, I guess, do we get to that point where we're so fried out? What's going on in our nervous system? I want to talk today about what I see most frequently as three of the most common reasons. And the women that I work with, discovery calls, one-on-one coaching, inside every store, these are the three things that I see over and over and over again that lead to that feeling of just being so fried, like so done. Here's number one. The first reason that you're feeling so fried is that you have not been taught, you don't know how to complete the stress loop. Complete the stress loop. Here's what I'm talking about. When we experience stress, there's an initial stressor, right? Something that our body, our brain perceives as a threat or a danger, whether it's real or just perceived, right? A lion chasing us, a real threat, or a nasty email from, I don't know, a coworker, a perceived threat, right? To our physical safety. So when our brain and our body perceive some sort of threat, there's a physiological response in our body, right? Certain hormones and chemicals are released in order to respond to that threat. We notice a physical response. Our heart might start racing. Our breathing might change. Our body temperature might change. We notice like our voice might change, right? All of these different physiological responses. In order for us to be able to appropriately respond to that threat. Now, once that threat has dissipated, so think back thousands of years ago, right? If we were in fact running from a real threat and danger to our survival, like a lion, and we ran or we fought by fight or flight response, and eventually we did either escape or we somehow fought the lion and we were safe, that stressor was gone and we would return to our group of people, right? Our community, and we might talk it through. We've metabolized a lot of those chemicals that were released because we had physical activity. We actually ran or we actually fought. We would eat a nice hot meal, right? We would get a good night's rest. And our body, our nervous system would complete that stress loop. It would go all the way around and return back to baseline stress level. Now, we live in 21st century. We do not experience stressors once every 3 weeks, right? We don't have enough time between stressors. We don't move our body enough to metabolize all of those stress chemicals that are being released in our body. We do not know how to return back to baseline stress level. We're just being hit, right? Stressor, 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 chronic stress, financial stress, emotional stress, relational stress, the stress of all the stuff we have to do, right? Managing our house, parenting, our careers, all the things. So our body has not understood how to return to baseline stress level. And all that stress we're holding, because we're not discharging it, right? Our body doesn't feel safe. So it's just continuously pumping out these stress chemicals. And we're stuck in this fight or flight response that will leave us feeling fried. So what we want to learn to do is we want to learn to complete that stress loop. And this is really what I work with. It's what we start with in Restore, and it's what I work with my one-on-one clients, learning how to complete the stress loop in your nervous system for your particular body, right? Your particular nervous system. What does your nervous system respond to? What kinds of, you know, activities or practices help signal to your brain that the stressful event, right? Or the harmful event or the threat or whatever has passed and your body is safe to return to a state of equilibrium. How do we do that? Well, it's a lot of things we talk about on this podcast. Here are a couple ways. One, physical activity, right? You guys are never going to hear me shut up about this. Moderate exercise, moving your body. It helps to discharge the energy that's accumulated during a stress response. Again, it does not have to be CrossFit. In fact, it probably shouldn't be some sort of really intense HIIT exercise because that's also a stressor on our system. So if you're already in fight or flight, if you already are experiencing a lot of stress in your body, adding a really intense, stressful exercise is not going to be helpful for you. So things like walking, maybe even jogging, right? Stretching, Pilates, dancing, all of these things can be really helpful in promoting the release of tension and stress hormones and also allowing your body to signal that it's safe to return to a calmer state. Breath work, right? I also talk a lot about breathing. Think about what happens in your body if you are faced with some sort of threat. First thing to change is probably your breathing, right? Really shallow, quick breaths. That signals to our body that something's going on. We've got to prepare to fight or run. And just notice your breathing right now. So many of us have forgotten how to breathe in a way that brings calm and safety to our system. Because we're stuck in chronic stress, we're chronically breathing with quick, shallow breaths. And that signals a threat to our body, right? Our body's not good at differentiating real or perceived threats. So if you can intentionally practice taking deep breaths, those deep diaphragmatic breaths, right from the depths of your diaphragm, with belly breaths, that can activate your body's parasympathetic nervous system, that relaxation system. Because when we breathe deeply and more slowly, particularly in our exhale, right? No one ever, you know, ran from a threat with long, slow, deep breaths. That signals safety to our body. We do that when we are safe. So when we can have those deep breaths, those deep, long exhales, it really signals to our brain that it's safe to shift out of fight or flight response and return to a place of safety, right? Helps regulate our heart rate and induce this sense of calm. And then the last thing that I always talk about, especially when it comes to like completing the stress loop, because we live in a state of chronic stress, so many of us, we've got to be intentional about including daily stillness practices. We experience stress every day, right? Yes or no? So we have to have practices every day to release that stress and anchor in safety and stillness. And guys, this doesn't have to be some big prolonged practice. How about like driving home from drop off without having a podcast or an audiobook or music playing, right? What about going for a 10-minute walk instead of sitting at your desk and eating lunch, and a walk without, again, stimulating yourself, right? With like noise. What about laying in bed for 10 minutes before you get out of bed and start going on with all the things you have to do that day, right? What about taking 10 minutes before you open your eyes and just going through some sort of gratitude practice or prayer or meditation, right? Focusing our attention on the present moment. It interrupts those patterns of like all the ruminating, all the looping thoughts, all the stress reactivity, and it really helps us to complete and close that stress response. So those are some things that are really important to help us complete that stress cycle so we can return to baseline stress level. Because when we're stuck in that stress loop, man, holy moly, do we feel fried. It's so taxing on our system. So that's number one. The second reason that I see that we feel fried, and these are all tied to not being able to complete the stress loop, right? The second reason we get stuck and not able to complete the stress loop, and that leads us to being fried, is we are just overstimulated, you guys. We have so much coming at us. Overstimulation overwhelms our nervous system. And when our nervous system is overwhelmed, it leads us feeling fried, exhausted, irritable. We have cognitive fatigue. And maybe you guys have heard me talk about this before. It's because we all have a window of tolerance. What's our window of tolerance? Our window of tolerance is the range within which our nervous system can handle stimulation and information and demands and all of these different things, right? Life, frankly. How much life our nervous system can handle without being thrown into a stress response, fight or flight, right? Freeze, fawn, these different stress responses that we have. How much can we handle and stay in this regulated state? That's our window of tolerance. And our window of tolerance varies. On some days when we're taking care of ourselves and we've slept well and we're eating well and we're well-resourced and we're moving our body, man, anything and everything could happen, right? All the meltdowns, all the things going wrong at work, all the comments from whomever, right? And we just handle it. We're like, man, I freaking crushed this day, right? I could handle whatever life threw at me today. Our window of tolerance on those days is really wide, really broad. Our nervous system's well-equipped to handle a bunch of life. Then on other days, when we're not resourcing ourselves, we're not taking care of our nervous system, we're not taking care of our body, we're not doing the practices that we know help us be well, the same things happen and it just sends us into a tailspin, right? We're right outside of our window of tolerance so quick, we're thrust into a state of dysregulation, fight, flight, freeze, we cannot function. And it's because of the width of our window of tolerance. So what are some things that we can do to help avoid overstimulation and thus feeling so fried? One is just sensory input, you guys. We as women, high achieving women, mothers, wives, caretakers of the home and all the people, y'all, we are bombarded with sensory input, right? Think of all the requests, all the demands, all the notifications, all the loud noises, all the bright lights, all the voices, right? All the music, all the crowded spaces, like all the questions, information overload. And it overloads our brain's processing capacity, right? Our brain only has limited capacity. Every single one of us, we can grow that capacity. Absolutely. And that's the practice of growing and resilience of our nervous system. We grow our capacity. But ultimately, all of our nervous systems have a limit, right? A limit to process information. And when that's overwhelmed, our brain really struggles, you guys, to like filter stuff out, to prioritize stuff. It's exhausting. And all of that overstimulation, everything that's constantly coming at us, when we're overwhelmed in our nervous system, that's a stressor, right? So again, as we talked about, it triggers our body's stress response. And it leads to the release of all of those stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. Our body sees all of that overstimulation as a threat and it chronically activates our stress response. So over time, it leads to exhaustion. It leads to feeling fried. It leads to burnout. So what we want to make sure that we're doing is we're prioritizing what I think is actual self-care, right? Relaxation, stress reduction, sensory moderation, taking breaks from screens. Do it right now, guys. Go through your phone and just start turning off all of your non-essential notifications. And by non-essential notifications, be real with yourself, right? You don't need a notification about all of your emails and your different email accounts. You don't need notifications from all of the different apps on your phone. You don't need notifications. Like maybe there are two or three that you actually really need, right? Other than that, like guys, be ruthless in turning off those notifications. They are exhausting. And then just time away from your screen. Like have a practice, man. At a certain time of day, I put my screen away or I don't pick it up until I've been awake for an hour in the morning, right? Including stillness practices. We just talked about that. Mindfulness, meditation, prayer, getting outside. Getting outside, there's just something about spending time in nature, sunshine, fresh air, right? Listening to the sounds of nature without all of that stimulation coming in through your headphones is so soothing and calming and healing for your body and your nervous system. And then making sure you're taking care of the essentials, right? Am I sleeping? Am I hydrating? Am I nourishing my body? Beautiful practices that help us recover and prevent that fried feeling. And then the last one, number three, that I see, and it kind of ties to all of this, right? It ties to completing the stress loop. It ties to counteracting the effects of overstimulation is, y'all, the third reason that so many of us have felt fried or feel fried in the moment is because we're just plain overcommitted. We're overcommitted. We've got really poor boundaries around our bandwidth and around our attention, right? And around our energy. There's no white space in our calendar. There's no intentional margin built in our day to day. And when we have poor boundaries around those things, what happens? We're more likely to say yes, right? We're more likely to say yes to demands on our time and demands on our energy and demands on all of our resources, even when we don't really want to, right? Even when it's not in our best interest. And that overcommitment, right? Spreading ourselves too thin, it eats up all the time that we would otherwise have for rest, for meaningful connection with the people that we love so much, our family, relaxing, recharging, self-care. And what happens when we're overcommitted, or at least I'll speak for myself and what I tend to see. I notice for myself, when I am overcommitted, y'all, it doesn't take long before I start feeling resentful, right? I'm resentful for other people who have not overcommitted and seem to have so much time and space. I get resentful toward my husband, who sets much better boundaries around his time and is very quick to say no to things, right, that are not full body yeses for him. Without clear boundaries, when I notice I'm slipping and having boundaries around my commitments and saying yes, I start resenting others, either taking advantage of me, not respecting my needs, asking too much of me, right, not respecting my limits. And that builds up over time. I get stuck in anger, frustration, emotional exhaustion, whatever. Really, really sneaky victim starts playing in there. And y'all, when we don't have poor boundaries, there's no power there. There's no empowerment, right? So that's a signal for me. When I start noticing that resentment, y'all, I gotta rein it back in. I gotta take my power back. I gotta set some healthy boundaries, right? Take care of my own needs. Prioritize myself, right? Without not prioritizing others at the expense of myself, right? Not ignoring the signs of stress, not ignoring the signs of burnout, and protecting my space, protecting my energy, protecting my attention, protecting my bandwidth, all of those things, so I don't just keep going when I feel or notice that I'm running on empty. So what do we do? I think in order to combat the overcommitment, the solution really is getting clear on your boundaries, getting clear on communicating those boundaries, on enforcing those boundaries. Healthy boundaries, guys, they're so closely tied to the joy that you want to experience, to the energy that you want to experience, right? So getting clear on what are your priorities, and then setting boundaries in order to protect those priorities, protect your needs for rest and for space and for quiet time with your family, right? Acknowledge your limits, acknowledge your priorities, say no when necessary, prioritize your self-care, prioritize your well-being. Healthy boundaries are going to help you do all of that, guys. And as a result, you're creating a protective barrier. You're creating a buffer, right? Against stress and against overwhelm and against emotional drain, feeling fried. And you're able to protect, right? Boundaries keep things out, but they also keep things in. And when we have healthy boundaries, we get to keep in our energy and our sense of balance and our peace and all of those beautiful things that we're seeking. So those are the three reasons I think that most people are feeling fried. They don't know how to complete the stress loop. They are way too overstimulated and they are way too overcommitted. So I would just invite you today, like maybe just choose one of those areas. If this is resonating and you're like, yeah, all of those, or at least one of them really hits it for me, I'm feeling fried and I can see how, you know, being overstimulated or being overcommitted or not completing the stress loop is really kind of perpetuating this feeling of burnout. Choose one today. Choose one, right? How are you going to create some space in your calendar to be able to rest? How are you going to lower some of all of that stimulation that's coming at you, right? How are you going to reduce some of that sensory input? How are you going to start to get more aware about how you're completing the stress loop? Maybe it's moving your body. Maybe it's breathing. Maybe it's incorporating a stillness practice. But choose one and really pour into it, really be intentional about it this week, and just start to notice how your feeling of being fried will start to heal and fade away, and your energy will slowly return and your mood will improve, and you'll notice your mental clarity improving and all of these different awesome things. And you guys, if this is something that you have struggled with, like feeling fried for a long time, you're probably not the only one, right? I can guarantee you that. So if you're looking for help, you're in the right place. I would love to help you. I would love to support you in that. I would love to meet you. I want to teach you how to close the stress loop, right? I want to teach you how to do it for your particular body and go way more in depth with all of this stuff with you. So if this landed for you, if you're feeling fried, you don't know where to start. Again, remember, I talked about when I'm feeling fried, even the little things feel overwhelming. So coming up with a plan to recover and heal from that state of burnout can be so overwhelming, right? It's like, where do I even start? And that's where having the power of a coach and a guide through this process, like you already fundamentally have everything that you need to heal from how you're feeling. You just need a guide who knows what they're doing that can help pull it out of you, right? That can set up the steps for you. So you don't have to think about that part and you can just execute and work on healing and follow a plan that's been proven and that works. There's a link in the show notes. You can book a absolutely free 30-minute discovery call with me. We'll just jump on a quick Zoom together. I want to hear again how you're feeling. I want to hear how this is showing up for you. And then I can talk about the ways in which I can support you. And if it feels aligned and it feels like a good time for you and you want to make this investment in yourself, we can explore whether one-on-one coaching or Restore or anything else might be the answer that you've been looking for. So I would love to meet you. Go ahead, check out the show notes, click on that link, book a discovery call with me. I think that's a great, great place to start and take a stand against this feeling of being fried because, my friend, you deserve to feel well. All right. Thanks for being with me today. I love you guys so much. I will talk to you soon.
If you love Mommy's Polygraph, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com, where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.